Welcome back to the last episode of 2025. And today we're talking about something that's probably on your mind as we head into the new year. Yes, goals, resolution, goal settings, and all that pressure to change and to add new stuff to have the most amazing 2026. But here's the thing. If you are pregnant or recently given birth or raising small children, the traditional new year, new you narrative doesn't really apply to you right now. Because let's be honest, those people making those grand resolutions in January, they're probably not carrying a baby. They probably haven't just given birth to one. And they're probably not running four different schedules at once. So today, we're talking about what goals and time actually look like during this phase of our lives. And I'm sharing what I'm personally doing different this year in terms of ending the year and starting a new one. And I'm sharing what I'm doing differently this year in terms of ending the year and starting the new one, which might resonate with you too.
Hi there. Welcome to the Yoga, Bellies and Babies podcast. I'm your host, Krishna Hasamal, a mama of four, a yoga teacher and a scientist. I'm here to help you learn about the journey of pregnancy, birth, and parenthood through yoga, science, and most importantly, personal experiences. Each week, I'll talk to parents, science and healthcare professionals, and of course, yogis. You'll learn about the nitty-gritty details of pregnancy and birth, the ups and downs of postpartum, and the very unglamorous life of being a parent. And now, let's get to it.
Before we dive into the new year, let's talk about right now. Because if you're listening to this around the holidays, which is when I'm recording it, you might be in the thick of it. So let me ask, how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? If you're pregnant, how are you handling the smells of all the holiday food, the richness, the cheese platter, the mulled wine that everyone else is drinking? How's your reflux? Honestly, how are you managing to adapt to your normal schedule? How are you managing the change from your normal schedule? What about all the social activities that you're attending or that you have to do or you should do when you're exhausted and you just want to be in bed or on the sofa all day? Maybe you're in that phase where you just want to be in your baby bubble. Oh, you want to nest. You want to be home. You want to be painting the nursery and preparing the cot. But there are dinners and events to go to, family to see, expectations to meet. Or maybe you've already given birth, just recently given birth. How's it going with all the visitors? How's it going with everybody wanting to hold the baby, see the baby, ask you how you're doing while secretly just wanting baby time? And if you have small kids, oh my goodness, I'm in that boat right now. How's it going, honestly? Let me tell you what happened in my house this week. One of my twins napped at 6 p.m. Yes, 6 p.m. We had been trying since 1. And at 6 p.m. he just napped on his own. And this is 2 hours before his bedtime. So our schedule has been completely out of the window. My twins are 2 and a bit, by the way, just for the record. My daughter, who's 7, is constipated from the lack of fruit and vegetables, from eating too much party food and sweets. It's been so cold. My kids are hardly even drinking water. And me, well, on the 26th of December, Boxing Day morning, I was completely depleted. I felt completely, I'd crashed. All the preparation leading up to Christmas Day and then Christmas Day itself had left me completely exhausted. I woke up at about 6. 6 and 7 is our usual morning time. And by 8 a.m., I told my husband, I'm just going to the bedroom. I'm going to lie down. I lied down for what I thought was going to be 10, 15 minutes. And I woke up 2.5 hours later at 10:30 a.m. But something was different this time. For the first time in a long time, I didn't ask, hey, is it okay for me to go lie down for a bit? I didn't say, wake me up if you need me. I'm just going to be in the bedroom. And when I came out of the room after my lying down, you know, break, I didn't come out and thank everybody for letting me rest. I didn't apologize for being in the room instead of helping out with the kids in the morning. which is what I would typically do. I would have done this in the past. And that small shift, which is actually quite a big effect, that is a result of my evolution as a mother. That's my way of evolving into the person that I'm becoming, that transition of becoming a mother. And that's the direction I'm going in. And that's what I want. That's the direction I want to go in. But this change didn't happen overnight. And it's not a New Year's resolution type of thing. It's small steps. This awareness from asking if I could go and have a rest or thanking someone or feeling guilty for it to just saying, hey, you've got this. I'm going to go lie down. That awareness has come from two things, my yoga practice and the coaching support that I've had. Then there's something else that happens during the holidays. The FOMO. How are you doing with the FOMO? You know, scrolling through your social media feed and seeing people traveling, being out wining and dining and living these beautiful festive lives and going to cool events and parties. You know, I see the most beautifully decorated Christmas trees with perfectly placed ornaments and perfectly wrapped gifts and twinkling lights everywhere. And in the meantime, I have to keep my tree to a minimum hidden behind the sofa because my twin toddlers are just ready to rip it all apart. And for a moment, you feel that. You feel that pang. You feel that, oh, you're missing out of not being able to do what everyone else is doing. But here's the truth about this season, especially. Not the season of the year, but the season in life. You're not missing out. You're just in another season. You're in another season of life. So if you find this holiday Christmas season hard, you're not alone. If your kids' schedules are chaos, if you're exhausted, and if you just need to lie down, and if your Christmas tree is bare because of toddlers, then that's completely valid. I really want you to know, wherever you are right now, however you're coping, it's okay. It's all okay. Because here's something that I think we don't talk enough about. When you're pregnant or in postpartum, raising small children, you live in a different reality than the rest. Your perception of time is different. For most people, time is measured in weeks and months and years, January to December. You know, we do quarter one, quarter two, da 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 da. But for you and for me, time is measured in trimesters, especially when you're pregnant, in the weeks of pregnancy, months since birth. Sometimes it's not even trimesters. During pregnancy, it can be weeks. We count in weeks. That's the schedule that we're living in. We just want to get to the next week and the next week and the next week. You know, after giving birth, it's also weeks, and then it becomes months, and it's windows. It becomes in wake windows and feeding schedules. You know, we're on a 3-hour schedule, then we're on a weekly schedule, and we're on a leaps schedules. My twins just recently went through a growth spurt, and for like 3 weeks, it was complete chaos. And now they're back to kind of normal. So these development leaps in the early years are also part of our schedule that is not in that annual calendar that we're given, right? The year for us doesn't run from January to December. That January to December doesn't take into account those growth spurts and those sickness days and those developmental leaps that our babies have. You know, your year may run from conception to birth, or from birth to the first birthday, from one stage to the next, whatever stage that is in, because for those first few years, time moves differently, right? I really see this. Time moves differently when you're surrounded by babies and children. Some days feel like they can last forever. It's like the day is never ending. But at the same time, the weeks fly by and it is just all a blur. And that means that your capacity is different too, right? Because what you can get done in a day is very different. What you can achieve in a month is very different. So when you're in this phase, what feels realistic for a year is completely different depending on the stage that you're in. And when January rolls around and everyone starts talking about their big goals and ambitious plans and how this is going to be their year, it can feel really alienating. And you might kind of want to push yourself into it. Even if you're pregnant and your baby isn't born yet, you think, oh, well, I'm going to achieve all these different things before baby is born, without even realizing that your pregnant body might be on a completely different timescale and a completely different calendar to your non-pregnant body, and maybe your non-pregnant mind yet at the moment, who's not acting as if it's pregnant. And it can be isolating, it can be alienating when you're trying to relate to everybody else having these big plans and their goals, whether it's their business or moving home or their travel or in their personal life, because you're just thinking, I just need to get through the next feeding schedule. I don't know what I'm making for dinner tonight. I just want to get through this week without mastitis. I want my toddler to sleep through the night. Or maybe your toddler doesn't sleep through the night and your priority is not for your toddler to sleep through the night, but you're dealing with interrupted sleep, right? And that's not a lack of ambition or a lack of wanting to be productive or a lack of wanting more. That's just our reality. It's that your reality is just different at the moment. And I do want to take a moment to talk about where this pressure to set goals actually comes from, because I've noticed something, especially on social media, the loudest voices about New Year's resolutions and goal settings are men. This is what I see on social media. Men who don't really understand what our bodies and our minds are going through, men who are not waking up multiple times a night to feed a baby, men who aren't navigating pregnancy, exhaustion, brain fog, postpartum recovery, you know, the hormonal changes, or the mental load of managing people, other people at home, and the entire household. You know, these are men who can sleep through the night, who have uninterrupted time to work on their goals, who have that physical and mental capacity that you and I simply don't have right now. Yeah, and I'm not saying men can't have valuable insights, and I'm not saying they can't support us. There are partners, there are birth partners, there are life partners, but the reality is different. So when they're telling you to wake up at 5 a.m. to work or to, you know, do your journaling and then hit the gym 5 to 6 days a week and then work on your side hustle or build a business while also being an amazing parent, they're speaking from a completely different reality. They're not experiencing the interrupted sleep, that night after night of broken rest, that exhaustion that's literally, that just seeps into your bones and it feels like it's broken you. Yeah. And I see this on messages all the time in my community, in other communities, the exhaustion that I don't know how to do this. I can't cope. I'm just so tired. Yeah. They're not dealing, these people who are claiming these big goals and these fancy routines that pack everything into a day, from that perfect amount of protein that you have to have, to the exercise that you need to do, to the journaling for 30 minutes, all these lists of things to make you that perfect person, to have the perfect light. Those people are not carrying the mental load of remembering doctor's appointments, yeah, of the vaccine schedules, or when the baby last ate, whether it's done enough poos and enough pees, or if there are clean bottles, if you've run out of nappies, have you run out of milk. They're not dealing with physical recovery from pregnancy and birth. They're not dealing with hormonal shifts. They're not dealing with a body that doesn't feel like your own just yet. Maybe it feels like your own, but it's still different. Yeah? So I want you to know that when you see those posts about, you know, reaching for your goals, crushing your goals, making 2026 your year and becoming the best version of yourself, and you see that on social media and you feel that, you know, that pang of guilt, or you feel not good enough, or, you know, that inadequate feeling because you can barely think about what's happening tomorrow. Yeah, you're still in that stage of what are we doing today? You can't even get to next year. I want you to remember this. All those messages aren't for you. At least they're not for you right now. They might be for you at another stage, but right now they're not. Those messages are coming from people who don't understand your reality. And that's not your fault, okay? That's just the system. We could talk about the patriarchy, but we're not going to do that today. But that is just the way the system is built up. That's what sells online. It's not your fault. It's not you. That's just where you are right now. You're in a different place. And talking about where you are is the next thing I want to do. And that's important because That's something that yoga has taught me, right? Because we're talking about goals here. Well, everyone else is talking about goals. But before you can actually move forward, you need to know where you are right now. So I've always thought about it like a map. If you're trying to get directions to somewhere, the first question is, okay, where are you? Where are you on that map? There's no point in getting directions to a place if you don't know what your starting point is. And that's true in life as well. And that's a big part of our yoga practice. Yeah. When we start by noticing where we are, how we're feeling, what's happening in our body, what's happening with our breath, what's happening in our minds, that is the beginning of understanding where we are. We don't just jump into a practice without awareness and see where it takes us to, because we need to know where we are, how we're feeling to then, you know, develop the yoga practice. So before you start thinking about where you want to go in 2026, you need to take a moment to really think about or to know where you are right now. For example, it can be as simple as, okay, are you pregnant? How many weeks? How are you feeling physically? How are you feeling emotionally? Have you recently given birth? Are you postpartum? How many weeks or months? How's your recovery going? How's your sleep? How's your mental health? Are you raising small children or maybe not so small children? What stage are they in? What stage are you in? What is your capacity right now? Yeah, because sometimes we think about bringing things on, but we need to assess our capacity. Maybe what we need to do is remove things to add things. So this isn't about judgment. There's no right or wrong answers to these questions. It's just about awareness. And you'll hear yoga teachers all the time say, okay, be aware of your breath. Well, this is why. Yeah, we need to be aware of where we are, how we're feeling on the mat and off the mat. Because you can't make realistic plans for the future for 2026 if you're not honest about your present. And then once you know where you are, the next step is not to look forward, is to look back first. So I want to share with you something about looking back. Something happened to me recently. So this year, 2025, I reopened Krish Yoga in the spring after coming out of maternity leave with the twins. A maternity leave, which by the way, I thought would take 6 months. It took over a year and a half. Okay, so I expected to come back to Krish Yoga 6 months after giving birth to twins. It took me a year more. So I launched my online yoga membership in May. I began teaching hypnobirthing again, and I slowly have restarted the podcast. And recently, I had to do my accounts for 2025 and have a look at the numbers for the year. And honestly, I felt quite down. My numbers they were good for the first year, but they're not what I was hoping for. So I decided to do something different. Instead of focusing on what I hadn't achieved in terms of numbers, in terms of euros, I decided to look at what I had achieved. So what I did was, okay, how many lives have I touched this year? I opened up an Excel and I wrote down a list of all the women I've worked with. Every single woman I've worked with this year, just this year. Everything from prenatal yoga, online, in person, postnatal yoga, private classes, group classes, beyond postnatal yoga, hypnobirthing classes. I made the list of the people and then I wrote down what I'd helped them with. Everything from physical pain during pregnancy to women dealing with period pains, women who weren't able to relax during pregnancy until I showed them how they weren't sleeping well until they would come to my yoga class, what I taught women through the hypnobirthing, how I'd helped them have more positive births, how I'd taken away the anxiety and trauma from their first birth so they could have positive second births. One of them couldn't believe she could have birth without an epidural. And she went off and had a birth without an epidural. And she was just so proud of herself. But she was fully aware that she could go for that option or not. So she kind of had a more impartial view about the epidural instead of a dependency on it. So I had made a list of all the women I'd helped, how I'd helped them, right? And it reminded me of what this business is about, right? It reminded me of what I'm doing and how it's not just about the euros. It's about helping moms and women at all stages find themselves, right? And figure out what they're really capable of. Because it starts with the feeling of being better in a physical body and mentally. And that starts with the yoga and the coaching that we do in the Krish Yoga membership. And then once you feel better physically and mentally, then you build the awareness. And then that leads to all these other amazing things that start happening in your life. So before you start making lists of what you need to do next year, I really suggest that you take a moment to look back at what you've already done. Take a moment to acknowledge everything you've achieved and everything you've done. And what impact has it had? What positive impact has it had in your life or in the life of others? You'd be surprised. If you're pregnant, for example, you have been growing a human, right? You might think, oh, it's just pregnant. No, you're growing an actual human being. Your body is performing or has been performing an actual miracle. You're navigating tons of discomfort, exhaustion, hormonal changes, probably a bit of fear and anxiety and excitement at the same time, you know, all these contradictory emotions, all whilst functioning in your normal daily life. That's not nothing. That's extraordinary. Okay, and if you've recently given birth, you've brought life into this world. You've survived sleep deprivation. You've learned how to feed a baby, change a baby, soothe the baby. You're kept a tiny human alive. Okay, and then on top of that, you're trying to keep yourself alive and recovering from that experience of giving birth. And again, that's not nothing. That's everything. If you're raising small children, you've been holding it all together and you might think, well, we haven't done anything great this year. Doesn't matter. You're managing their schedules and meals and tantrums and joy and exhaustion all together and all the love all at the same time. That's not nothing. That's like you're a hero. You're a hero for society. You're a hero in your family. You've achieved so much. So for 2026, I'm not setting any traditional goals. I've done the exercise of looking back to what I've achieved in the 2025. And now I've chosen a word. I'm working with a word, one word that will guide how I want to move through 2026. And that word for me is space. And by space, I mean more space in my day, more space in my life, in my work, in my relationships. And I'm starting small. Yeah, I'm not hitting a goal to say I want this many hours of space in my day. I'm starting small by creating space in between activities. That's where I'm going to start. And I've started already. So for example, when I come home with the children or even without the children, especially without the children, instead of immediately rushing into the next task, right? So making dinner or hanging up the laundry or answering emails, I'm going to take 60 seconds to sit down, do nothing, breathe. 60 seconds is around 5 breaths for me. That's it. So easy to skip this. It's so easy just to come in, boom, take your shoes off, take your coat off and start going on to the next thing. No, 60 seconds is okay. I can afford 60 seconds. From that, I will expand it to maybe 5 minutes, right? But I need to start with 60 seconds. And then after that, I'll get on with what needs to get done. In my yoga practice, I am going to start creating more space in between poses. I don't always have to flow from one pose directly into the next. I can take a few breaths in between. I can pause. At work, I can take space in between tasks. From finishing to writing an email, take a break, maybe take those 60 seconds again before moving on to the next thing. If I'm done editing a podcast, let me pause for a moment before opening the next file. So space in my day. And I know that all those small moments of space will add up and they'll create more space in my life, which gives me more ease. And then I can be more present with myself, more present with my children, more present with my husband, and more present with my clients. And that's what I need right now. So I'm not gearing into the direction of focusing on more achievement, more productivity. I don't need more doing. I just need more space to be. And I know that by creating myself more space, all the other things will come. So I'm curious, what might your word be? What's your word for 2026? Is it rest? Is it patience? Is it strength? Is it trust? Ease? Connection? Maybe it's play or pleasure. You don't have to figure out right now. You don't have to have it all planned out by January the 1st. Not at all. You can just sit with the question. What do you need more of this year? Not what you should do. And not what you're supposed to do or supposed to achieve. But what do you really need? And then can you see if you can create tiny moments of that throughout the day? Whatever it is that you need. Get yourself some reminders. You know, whatever, even if it's sticky notes around your house or alarms on your phone, create those tiny moments throughout your day. So, for example, if your word is rest, can you build in 5 minutes of lying down in the afternoon? And can you do it without asking permission or apologizing for using that time afterwards? If your word is ease, can you let go of one thing on your to-do list that actually doesn't matter? If your word is happiness, how about doing something that makes you happy every day? If your word is pleasure, how about doing something that gives you pleasure every single day? It's about those small moments every day. Those small moments make small shifts, which then have a domino effect, and they make big shifts. And that's how we start. So before I wrap up, I want to take a moment to say thank you. Truly, I want to thank you for listening to me, the Yoga Bellies and Babies podcast. I want to thank you for opening my emails, reading my emails, sharing my work with people, recommending me to your friends and to your family. I want to thank you for standing by Krish Yoga and supporting me in doing the work that I do. It means so much more to you than it means so much more to me than you can imagine. I want to thank the teachers that have joined the Krish Yoga Studio for believing in what we're doing and for the patience in knowing what it takes to build a business from scratch whilst being a mother of four kids. And, you know, all this work that we do, helping moms at all stages of their motherhood journey, helping them find themselves and helping them realize what they're really capable of. And that's what I know I'm meant to be doing. And I can only do it because you're here. So truly, thank you. And as we head into the new year, I want you to release that pressure. You don't have to have big goals. You don't have to transform your life overnight. You don't have to become a new version of yourself in 2026. You have to take care of the human that you're growing or the humans that you're raising. And most importantly, take care of yourself in the process. That's enough. That's actually plenty. That's more than enough. And that's why I'd like to invite you to join me for the Modern Mama Method. It's going to be 5 days of free live yoga and mindset. And we start on January the 12th. We're going to explore strength, rest, pelvic floor health, identity shifts, and how to build sustainable practices that actually fit into your life. This is not about adding more to your plate. It's about creating space, about creating ease, and showing you the practices that can support you and not exhaust you. Sign up at www.krishyoga.com/prenatal-yoga-mindset. And I would love to hear from you. What is your word for 2026? Or what is it that you need more of this year? Drop me a message on Instagram. Reach out. I'm at krish_yoga. Or send me an email at hello@krishyoga.com. Thank you so much for being here. Happy New Year, Mama. And I will see you in 2026.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Yoga Bellies and Babies podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about practicing yoga with me, whether it's one-to-one, a group class,
courses or events, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to www.krishyoga.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.